This is But You're Wrong, episode 37, we'll say. I'm Keith Bordello.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And we were just talking about cooking and food. We're both... I think I've only eaten something that you've cooked a couple times. And probably the same vice versa. But I would say We're both pretty good cooks. I would say you're better than me. But we're talking about cooking and... you were saying that you find that that the Slavic people are in general pretty good cooks.
Yeah, no, I think the Slavs are good cooks. I think that they, I think they're very good at adapting to other people's cuisines. Because I mean, truth be told, I don't know of much Slavic food. All I picture of Slavic food is just like a bulky roll with a big fish on it. That's not chopped up at all. Like just a big fish sandwich. Scales, right. Tail, head, everything. However, when the Slavs cook other foods, I think that they're very good. I think that they're very good cooks. I just don't know that they have their own good food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this was leading into, well, not trying to figure out why Keith was a good cook, just mentioning it. You know, because I was trying to decipher whether or not any of his being Irish meant he was a bad cook. But I think his Slav kind of takes over and makes him a good cook.
Well, I'm more Slavic than Irish.
There you go. So you're a better cook than, you're a good cook.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think, though. Like, I don't think there's never been anything in my family that, like, we've always... like traditionally had, you know what I mean? Like there's no like, oh, we always eat like this on Thanksgiving and this on this day and this on this day. You know what I mean? Like there's no,
It's not like structured. Like Italian food is very structured.
Yeah.
Especially like with Christmas, you know? Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, where it's kind of like we'll make something and we'll all get together and we'll make a big meal and it'll be awesome, but it doesn't necessarily have to be this, you know?
Yeah, like I've probably had more Slavic food, like not with my family than with my family. And I don't really know what it is. I don't know if – and my dad really hasn't either. Because I think we talked about it once and there was some stuff that they would do, but there were more like – the things that he more remembered were, like, weird traditions. Like, I think it was for... I want to say it was for Christmas. And if I ever convince my dad to come on the show, I'll ask him more about this. But I think it was, like, Christmas Eve. He would have, all the adults, while the kids were playing, would go into the kitchen. It was like a Quincy party.
Nice.
They would all hang out in the kitchen, but this is where it turns bad. And they would heat up rye. Now, have you ever had rye? Kind of like bourbon?
Yes, actually I have.
Okay. They would heat rye up on the stove in a pot, but it would have garlic in it.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm gonna look it up and see, because I think it was like Christmas Eve. I'm gonna see if it. It's not something that like you're like, oh, obviously, but I'm not entirely sure what I would search for. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. I've got stuff like that my family makes where. No, not like that, but just stuff that it's like, oh, well, so-and-so, he always makes this. And it's like not even necessarily like a traditional dish or anything. It's just like, that's what we do. You know, I don't know. And I wouldn't know how to really look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was – because anything that I try and search is going to come up with like just a recipe that includes both rye and garlic and not specifically what I'm looking for. Right. Unless I remember what holiday it's for. And I thought it was Christmas Eve. Let's try that. But that's probably just going to bring up more recipes. Yeah. It was – I know it was for some holiday. But, like, they would do that. On Easter, the one thing that we still do is, like, Easter breakfast will the night – it's either – no, the night before, and then it's also a couple days before. A couple days before, my dad will do, because my grandmother used to do it. And my grandmother, we actually used to call Baba. That's Slavic for grandmother. And then my grandfather, we called Zedor, with kind of an R sound onto it. And it starts with a Z sound, but it actually starts with a D. And then it's like DZ. And then it ends in an O. But.
Huh.
Yeah. That's just stuff I never questioned.
yeah, I don't even know how you'd start with that.
Yeah. But like my Baba used to make. Do the breakfast, and then she would send some over because it was done like a couple days before. But you would do, you'd make like a, it's, they called it like a cheese.
Yeah.
But it's almost kind of like just like an egg thing, like eggs and milk, and then you strain it through a cheesecloth. So you get kind of like a ball.
Right.
But they call it like a cheese. You make like a ham, and then you, kind of dice it up, and then you do like kielbasa.
Yeah.
And then that, and then they also usually had like hard boiled eggs, but I never did because I never liked hard boiled eggs. But that was like one kind of like, from my understanding, kind of Slavic tradition. But besides like the kielbasa, I don't think we really had any major like Slavic foods. I think I've had more out like since I moved to Pennsylvania, especially in this area. I think there's a lot more Slavics out here, and there's like I've had like more pierogies. Like every time you go to like a fair or something, there's always like a pierogi stand,
right?
And like I've never seen that anywhere else.
Yeah, no, I definitely have not run into that.
Yeah, but there's always, there's pierogies, there's halushki, which I forget what's in that. It's basically, I think, like dough. I think it might be like potato dough.
Okay.
But you can do it with like, there's also like cabbage, and then there's a lot of different things. I don't really like it because it's very like, with all the dough, it's like very heavy.
Yeah.
So I don't really like that. And then there was something else, I think, I'm trying to remember. There's a lot of like cabbage and sauerkraut type things.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, I don't know if it was just that we never... Like, my family just never really liked it that much, or what. But it started, like, with my grandparents, and they were, I don't want to say they were straight off the boat, but their parents were straight off the boat, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, I think both of my grandparents were born here. My great-grandparents were just off the boat. But some were in there. I don't know if it was because they were like, oh, well, let's conform to American... like type of food or what, but
yeah, I mean,
or if they were just like, you know what, we don't really like this stuff and we're not in like a huge neighborhood necessarily. So
I think a lot of ways people that come over here will like, they'll, a lot of times I think they will conform because it's easier. As far as food goes, it's easier and it's probably cheaper. At the same time, I know a lot of like authentic cuisine changes to be Americanized and to just be easier, or, you know, what they have. I mean, like, for instance, something like meatballs. I mean, they don't eat meatballs over in Italy. And the reason why you have it is because all the poor immigrants came over here. They would make their food and they would take the leftover ground beef or whatever it was. They would ground it all up, put it together, and put it in the sauce for the next day. So you still had meat. And it just kind of became a staple of Italian American cuisine. But it's really not something that came from Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's weird because I think the other thing is like, it also depends on what part of the country your family moves to when they come over.
Right.
Because like they always here around here. I don't know. See, this is where I start to get confused, and I don't know if it's a Polish thing or a Slavic thing or what. Let's see. But there's the tradition of eating like sauerkraut on New Year's.
Uh huh. I never heard that. I'm not Slavic though.
Actually, I think it's German. Or it's okay. I think it's actually German. But like, there's a lot of Germans around here. I guess in this area specifically. So like a lot of Germans settled around here. So that's something like they definitely like always do.
Right.
And nobody really thinks anything about it. But so okay, yeah. I think it's actually well. See, I'm getting mixed things just by Googling. I guess it's more of a Germanic kind of thing, like an Eastern European thing. I don't want to say it's specifically German.
Right. It sounds right.
It's a thing where you eat sauerkraut, but also eating you can't eat chicken.
You can't?
Yeah, you're supposed to eat, like, pork because chickens peck at the ground, so, like, you'll have bad luck with, like, pecking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pigs roll around in their own shit, as far as I know, so I would think that pork wouldn't be, like, a good luck thing, but...
I mean, it's craziness. Like, those superstitions and stuff. Like, they don't... I mean, there's always, like, some sort of a thing behind it. Like, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I get it. And then you could find a million ways to be like, yeah, but still, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, eh, whatever. But now they also list here on this page that I'm on for like Slovakian traditions for the new year. Pastries with, I lost it again. Or strudels or pastries with nut or poppy seed fillings or popular desserts. I think I remember a version of that being made by my baba. So I think we did some of that stuff though too. But that I don't think that for whatever reason really stuck.
Mm.
But like that was but the sauerkraut thing was something like I had never heard of because of like the area that I was in. It wasn't, I guess, so densely populated with, like, Eastern Europeans, like, German and Polish and Slavic in one kind of area.
Yeah. I mean, you probably had more Italians.
I had more Italians. In the town that I grew up in, there were a lot of Jews.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we didn't... I was very also very aware of their traditions also, more so than, like, some of the other ones. Now, one thing that I'm thinking about, and I thought of this a long time ago, is you've been to Italian weddings, I'm sure.
I have, yes.
Any of the Italian weddings you've gone to, has there been a cookie table?
There are variations of it, cookie table, candy table. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in short, yes. I mean, it varies, you know, depending on who's helping set up what it is, but yeah, there is.
Okay, because as far as I knew, I hadn't really been to an Italian wedding. Then I came out here, and it's become like a Western Pennsylvania thing.
Oh, really?
Having a cookie table. But then I was talking to my one friend who got married 2 months ago, I think, by now. Or no, just a month and a half, we'll say. I think I talked about it briefly. But she was talking to her about weddings before that. And she was saying that they were going to have a cookie table because it's actually an Italian tradition. And I had never heard of it before in terms of being an Italian tradition. And they didn't specifically show one in The Godfather. So I was like, I'm gonna have to check with Greg on this. Like, I'll believe her, but at the same time, I'm like, she's in Western Pennsylvania. She grew up in Western Pennsylvania to begin with. So maybe it's just like a Western Pennsylvanian Italian thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's entirely possible. Because when I had looked up cookie tables before, they just said it was like Western Pennsylvania, and then it was also part of the ceremony and like all these cultures. in that area,
mm.
but was expanding. So I was like, I don't know, like, is it just a regional thing, or is it actually, like, an Italian thing?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be – it really doesn't always have to be cookies, and it doesn't have to be at a wedding. It can be at any sort of a celebration, or it could be at a birthday. It could be at a first communion, shit like that.
Funeral?
Where you have
funeral.
It should be.
Funeral, bisque, bat mitzvah.
But yeah, usually there, a lot of times there is a separate table for the treats. And, I know like in, when we have us get together, my cousin Joanne will always, she sets up this big table of all these just cookies and candies and all that. And it's like, you know, that gets set up towards the end and everyone, you know, goes nuts. Yeah. Hmm. No, doesn't have to be a wedding. Doesn't have to just be cookies.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's weird how things just kind of change and adapt. And I think part, because I think part of it too is just regional compared to also like your culture where your family came over from. It's very interesting.
It is interesting. It's weird to see how it morphs and how it, I don't know. And then you see it's interesting to see also when people become like people are brought up with their more Americanized versions of their culture and then they become aware of the traditions of their culture and they try to and they incorporate them. And I kind of try to do that a little bit to an extent, especially let's say especially when it comes to food. Like I want to do that more and incorporate more actual, like, say, Italian dishes to what I make rather than just Italian-American stuff. I mean, you know, it's not easy because, like, when, you know, if I invite people over and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna cook Italian food, they're like, oh, all right, chicken palm. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll make chicken palm. I love chicken palm. But I kind of want to try other things too. And I try to like, I try to mix something in, maybe at least like an appetizer or something that's not like strictly Italian American, you know, I don't know, fried food, heavy or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, sir, anytime you want to cook something for me Italian, I will gladly eat it.
You got it.
It's funny. Like when I was traveling over in Europe, I would just be like, what do you recommend? Like that would be pretty much what I. That's how I ordered most of the stuff when I was at places. I would ask the waiter or waitress and be like, "What do you recommend? What would you eat? Because I will eat that just to try." Like I, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, you know what? And even if you're not crazy about it, it's good to try it.
Yeah, because at least you've had the experience.
Exactly. I hate not trying things. And I don't like everything, but I eat so many different things. Like I love trying new food.
Yeah, I mean there are certain things that I won't try because of the way that they like they look, and I'm just like I'm not ready to attempt that.
Is there okay? I can see based on look, I guess.
There's a George Carlin bit that he does of kind of about like. They're like, oh, we'll have some of that. And he's like, that doesn't look like food. Are you kidding me? That doesn't look like food at all. And that's the kind of thing where I'm like, I don't know if I could try that. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I'm a way less picky eater.
Yeah.
And I will try a lot more stuff. But there are also certain things where I'm just like, oh, I don't. Like, things, I don't like mayonnaise.
Okay.
If it's on a little like spread on a sandwich or something like that, but like for the most part, I don't like potato salad and stuff like that, just because it's just I don't know, it's just so heavy to me. Like, and then I feel like it just sits in my stomach. You know what I mean? Like while I'm trying to eat other stuff, I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, but at least you've had mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, yeah, but like for the most part, then if somebody's like, here, try this, and it's you know, slathered in mayonnaise, basically. Or they're like, I don't know, like, try cucumber salad that's, you know, slathered in mayonnaise. I'm just kind of like, No, I'm not gonna.
See, I'll try anything. I mean, it would have to be an extreme circumstance for me not to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't like the idea that I didn't take the time to do it. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of really anything that I wouldn't try.
Yeah, I mean, really, based on looks, unless I'm drunk. If I'm drunk, I'll eat just about anything. It's partially based on looks, but then also, like, the only other time that I won't try something is if I'm skeptical of its sanitation.
Oh.
So to speak, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, that's definitely a factor I would take into. I mean, if I saw something weird going on, you know, in the kitchen, and then they were like, oh, so what do you want? I'd be like, you know, like, I don't know if I want any of food, or not even just that, but just, you know, sometimes seafood, if you don't, you know, if you're a little iffy on whether and how they're doing their seafood or chicken or something, I can see being like, yeah, you know what, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the only... the only times I used to be the piggiest fucking eater in the world. I would eat I think my meal consisted of like all my meals were either like chicken fingers, spaghetti, pizza, or like hot dogs.
That's like the
or steak. I would always eat steak.
That's like the ultimate equalizer for kids that won't eat something. If you need to get them to eat something, you give them chicken fingers.
Yeah.
There's no kid that turns down chicken fingers.
Yeah, that was me. And then 5 years ago, I made a conscious decision to try more foods.
Yeah, I've always been the kind of person, always been the kind of kid that I liked what I liked, and if I don't like something, I will not eat it. You know, like, I do not like cooked carrots. And no matter how hard my parents tried to get me to eat the cooked carrots, I would not fucking eat them. But I would always try anything. If they ever put anything new in front of me, I would always try it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say I was not a picky eater, but I was stubborn.
Yeah, up until... For a long time, when I was a kid, I was a very picky eater. I was pretty stubborn in that there were certain things I wouldn't try. I don't know. Maybe it was a control thing. Maybe I was just like, because they would be like, well, why don't you try it? No, just try it. Just try it. And I'd be like, no, I'm not trying it. I refuse to bow to your powers, parents. And then I would paint half my face blue and charge into battle, so.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened in the end to that to him?
He got in trouble for yelling about Jews?
Well, yes, that's true, too. And other groups of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of groups of people.
Yeah.
He just doesn't like anyone.
No. Which I can appreciate because I don't really like anyone either.
But I think he would like us because we're white and non-Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
But you or I just generally don't like people in general, no matter what color or creed you are.
That's true. I just don't necessarily like other human beings. Right. There's just too many people that I despise for me to be that welcoming. You know, yeah. I've met too many people that I hate for me to meet someone new and be like, oh, yeah, I'll probably like this person. Oh, wait, they're probably fucking retarded.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Anybody one-on-one, I usually try to give a chance to. But, like, in general, in public, I'm just like, look at this fucking asshole.
Yeah, one-on-one, I try to give people, like, the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, okay, let's, you know. You know, I'll talk to you. I'll get a real read on you. But if I'm like out, I'm busy. If I'm at work or just, you know, out on the street, it's like, you know, when some douchebag does something that I don't like even a little bit, like, fuck this guy. Look at him with his stupid shirt and his dumb haircut. And but you know, and I just – it's like I don't really know this guy, but I'm just going out on a limb and saying he's – I don't like him. And I really don't care.
Yeah, yeah, I base too much stuff on people's, like, appearance and whatever. Like, we were at I went to New Jersey, I don't know, we'll say a month ago. And they had the I think it's called Festifall.
Festifall?
Yeah, a little fair downtown to welcome in the new season, fall, and there's, like, all these vendors and stuff selling, you know, weird, you know, little trinkets and jewelry and...
Dreidels.
Blankets and... No, actually, I don't think there were any dreidels. Actually, you know what? There probably were. And, like, signs for sports teams and all this other weird shit that, like, I wouldn't buy. But I guess it's a thing for, like, kids to go downtown and hang out at it. I don't know why, because there's not a lot to do. But, I mean, there's, like, food stands and stuff like that. But, like, there's not a whole hell of a lot to do. Lost my train of thought here.
kids.
There was this one kid, and it was a warm day out. I'm not going to say it was, like, 100 degrees, but I'm going to say it was, like, high 70s to 80.
Oh, I feel like I know where you're going with this.
And there was a kid wearing. I'm gonna say it was probably mid 70s because I think I wore jeans, but I was warm, but I was just wearing a t-shirt. Like, and I was a little warm. Like, I probably should have worn shorts, but I made the choice to wear jeans. And there was this kid wearing jeans, and I was like, eh, okay. But then I'm thinking about it. I'm looking at him. And he's also wearing, like, a collared shirt with, like, a wacky blazer over it. Like, a double-breasted suit jacket over that. And he's wearing, like, black jeans, and it's, like, a kind of like a black shirt. He's wearing, like, a ill-fitting hipster double-breasted suit jacket on top of that. But that's not all.
Oh, no?
Because...
I feel like I know what's coming next.
You want to make a guess?
He was wearing a scarf.
No.
Oh, better. Damn it.
Better. Better. More just cringe-inducing. I'll give you one more guess.
A winter hat.
Worse.
One of those hats with the flaps.
One of those hats with the flaps. Oh, yeah. No. Not like a Canadian hat.
Yeah.
No. Like a little hunting hat? No. He was wearing a top hat. And at one point, I think he was trying to do, like, tricks with the hat.
And man.
I was like, oh, you fucking asshole. Like, what are you doing? You're, like, 16, and you've made the choice to go with, like... hipster double-breasted suit jacket and a top hat?
I wore a top hat to my junior prom.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Okay, but that was like a formal event.
So, that's true.
So I will give you that.
Thank you.
But he was at Festifall in a small town in a small suburb of New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk bad about Festifall, but it doesn't sound like anything that I would dress up for.
It doesn't sound like anything I would go to as a kid.
Or that, unless I was forced.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I was curious about it because I never remembered it being around when I was a kid. So I was like, oh, and my parents were like, oh, there's some shops and stuff there. And they had gotten me a t-shirt down there from one of the vendors that says, it's a beer keg. And it just has a sign hanging on it that says out of beer. And on the back has a little logo, that says life is crap. Instead of, huh. Cause there's a company, Life is Good. I think it's based out of like New England.
Yeah.
But they got me that shirt because it was a beer shirt, and they know I love beer, so.
Huh. Well, it's something. You got something at a festival.
Well, they had bought it for me before, and they were like, oh, that's where we got you the shirt. Do you want to check it out? And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm not doing anything better. We might as well go.
Why not? No, I mean, I'd go. Festival, huh? I haven't been to too many, like, fairs or anything in my time. You know, a few here and there. I don't know. Quincy's not really the kind of town where you go to, like, a fair or anything.
Yeah.
I've done the feasts in the North End, but that's different.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, went to, like, a little outside festival thing in Italy, which is a lot better than Quincy.
Yeah, I mean, my only problem with stuff like that is, like, there's a lot of, anytime you go to things like that, there's a lot of just, like, knick-knack stands.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's fine, but I don't really need any of that stuff.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like, you get, like, old lady, and they're just like, I made this glass cat! You want to buy it for $5?
No, that's all right. I'm actually going to probably be moving within the next year, and I just don't want to have to deal with the cat.
But it's a bargain. I guarantee you can't find a glass cat anywhere for $5.
But that lady across the street also has a glass cat. I mean, they're two different cats, but she also has a glass cat.
Her glass cats are nothing compared to mine. She's a bitch. Buy my glass cat.
First of all, ma'am, I don't think you should be using that language.
Go fuck yourself, sonny.
You know what? I am going to go buy her her glass cat, and then I'm going to smash it over your head, okay?
I don't like you. Glass cat! The issue with...
I'm actually more of a dog person anyway.
Yeah, me too. But, The knickknacks and shit that you find at those things, I don't think they have them down where you are. I'm sure they don't have them down where you are. But up in New England, there's this chain called the Christmas Tree Shop. And
no, we got places like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you have places like it. And it's like they sell a lot of knickknacks. And it's just like dumb shit like glass cats. And
you're really some fucking glass cats right now.
I mean, it's just similar. You know, dumb shit. It's like a pig made out of hay or, you know, something dumb. And, you know, they'll do the commercials and they're like, oh, look at this. I got this for only $2.99. What a deal. It's like if you're paying more than $2.99 for a little pig made out of hay, you are an idiot. Go kill yourself. But I just, some of these knickknacks, I just don't need them. I have plenty of shit.
Yeah, I feel like I have enough stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, just, I have enough stuff. And I mean, like, if I knew I was going to be living somewhere for a long time, like, I had a house and I was like, you know what, I'm trying to decorate my house and this would look really good in, you know, the study.
Yeah. Who are you trying to think of a classy room in the house? Yeah, this would look really good in the bathroom.
I was trying to think of something funny to say, and all I could think of was clue rooms for some reason. And I was going to say the conservatory.
Oh, yeah, the conservatory.
This lead pipe would look quite nice in the conservatory. What the fuck was that talking about?
I don't know. Well, you were talking about, like, you would buy knickknacks if they were going to look good in your house.
Yeah, if I had a house and I was like, all right, well, you know what, like, I'm trying to decorate this thing and I'm going to have it for a while. But, like, I'm going to be moving at some point in the near future. Like, anything less than 5 years is the near future to me. Like, I'm probably going to be moving before then. I don't know how big the next place I'm going to live is. I don't know, you know, what the room setup is going to be like. Maybe pig made out of hay won't work.
Yeah, maybe the glass cat just won't even look right in your new house.
Mm-hmm.
No, it could be just so out of place. It could just be a glass dog kind of house.
Mm-hmm. And the place, the only place it would look good, it might refract the light.
Oh.
Blinding if you're trying to sit on the couch watching TV, and then you try and move it, and it just doesn't look good there. So,
I mean, it's terrible. It's just knickknacks are God's way of saying that he hates us. No.
I don't know what to say to that. I was trying to think of something funny to say and be like, no, this is, but I don't know.
You couldn't dispute my claim.
I mean, that could be one of the ways that God does show that he hates us.
Yeah, I don't know. Or you know what? Maybe not that he hates us, that he's just unsatisfied with his project.
I would say that actually probably the more definitive case that God hates us is when that part in the middle of your back itches and you can't scratch it.
Yeah, right, like up between the shoulder blades.
Yeah, and you can't get to it. I think that's God fucking with us.
See, like, I don't have too much of a problem because my arms are a little bit too long for my body, so I can usually get it. But it's not easy.
No, it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I should be a bear and just, you know, scratch up against a tree. I mean, I guess I could do that as a person, but...
I scratch up against door jams.
Hmm.
Have you never thought of that?
I guess I've done it, but I don't know. I try not to make a habit of it. You know. I don't... I don't want to be too uncivilized.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really make a habit out of it, but if my back really itches, I'll just go up against I mean, like, I don't do it at parties and shit, but, like...
That would be amazing if you did it at parties. You just over someone's house, you have, like, a dinner party, you got a glass of wine in one hand, you just fucking scratching your back on their door jam.
And I'm going, well, what do you do for a living, Bill? You're not a professional back scratcher, are you? Oh, there's a spot. I'm sorry, how many kids do you have? Oh, that's interesting.
You have a Chinese massage parlor? You're not from Quincy, are you?
That wasn't the direction I was going in, but that works also.
I'm sure they'd get the itch out for you, if you know what I mean.
The Chinese massage parlor?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they would get a lot out of me if they wanted to.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, I know. Oh, but yeah. How do we set the? Oh, we were talking about food.
Yeah, we're talking about food.
Oh, Slavs.
But speaking of food, there was one other thing I wanted to tell you before we end here. Before we wrap it up. Have you ever had haggis? Because this was thinking of weird foods that. People have tried.
Now, from what I understand, that is actually, I don't even know what is in it, but it is a boiled sheep stomach, from what I understand. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
I have not had it, and I'm not even sure what goes in it.
I'm trying to remember exactly what goes in. I think it's basically like the same stuff that goes in a sausage.
Okay.
Because when I had it, because everybody wanted to try it while we were in the UK, and the group we were traveling with, they were like, somebody was like, I've always wanted to try it, like, maybe we should try it, because I think it was like the special that night or something like that, or they were like known for our haggis, like that was like a sign that they had, you know. I want to say it was at a pub called The World's End, and it was because the town had been walled off, and like that was the last pub before you hit the wall.
Okay.
Literally the wall. And they called it like the World's End because you couldn't go past the gates. But we were there, and I think my actual meal was I got the William Wallace burger.
That's awesome.
Which had which was a burger with barbecue sauce, bacon, cheese, and a big slice of ham.
Mm.
It was very tasty. It was, there was some other stuff on it too, I think, but it was very tasty. But we decided that we wanted to try haggis. So we got one order and then all kind of tried it. As I recall, it tasted a lot like meatloaf.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, because it's English food, so it doesn't have, like, a lot of spice or anything to it.
Yeah, I imagine it's somewhat bland.
Yeah, it just kind of tasted like meatloaf. It was good. I mean, it's one of those things where if you think about what's in it, you're like, but you taste it and you're like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I to an extent, I do that when I eat, like...
like a hot dog?
Okay, yeah. I was going to say octopus, but hot dog, yeah.
Oh, calamari?
Well, calamari is more squid.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
But octopus, too. And, you know, the way I have had it mostly is fried. And, you know, and usually all the tentacles there are there and everything. And you can see it. It looks like a little octopus.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of just don't pay attention. Because you start thinking, like, it doesn't really bother me. But you start thinking about it. And before you know it, you're just like, I don't want to eat this anymore.
Yeah, when you start giving it too much thought, you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you just try it, it was pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially if you're having a couple of drinks, then you just don't care. I mean, I was in Venice and I was eating calamari and octopus all night, and not all night, but I mean for like a while. Like I had a ton of it, and I was just hammered, and I just kept eating it, and it's just like. I was not giving it a second thought. Like, not that it didn't matter, because obviously I had had both of them plenty of times before. But it was like, you just don't even think about it anymore. It's just like, yeah, whatever. I got tentacles sticking out of my mouth. That's all right.
I saw this thing on the Food Network. I think it was the Food Network. Or it was one of those food channels, because now they have like five of them. Because like there's like the cooking channel, the food channel, Food Network. I think Discovery has their own like food channel too.
Yeah.
But there was one about like some of the best burger places.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a burger place that they started doing. Originally, they wanted to do like ostrich steaks and like kangaroo steaks.
Yeah.
And then they realized nobody would eat that.
So what except for weirdos like me.
Well, yeah. Well, but what they did was they were like, okay, we got to make it more accessible to people. So they started grinding it up into ground meat, and then they would make like a kangaroo burger.
Nice.
And an ostrich burger. And then that's when people started flocking to them and being like, oh, this is great. You can try so much.
Yeah. That's cool.
That was like – because – people don't think about it. They're like, oh, a burger. Like, I've had a burger. Like, I know what a burger is. We'll try this. Even though it's made out of a different meat. Like, they're like, well, it's just a burger.
Right, right. It's familiar to you.
Yeah, they're not putting too much thought into what's actually in it, so.
Exactly. Yeah, and people do that all the time. If it's something recognizable, if it's something that doesn't look weird, they'll try it more so than if it looks strange.
Yeah. They'll just go along with it.
Yeah.
I guess this was a food episode.
I guess so. That's good. We haven't done one of those.
No, yeah, I guess we haven't.
I don't think so.
All right. That's the end of our first food episode. Join us again when we talk about probably not food.
Yeah, we'll talk about something else next time. Not that we don't love food. Because I know I do.
Yeah, I mean, we have to, but...
It's true.
Yeah. All right, I'm Keith Bodalo.
I'm Greg DiNicola, and make sure you check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/butyourewrong. Check us out on Twitter at @BYWPodcast, and keep checking out our new episodes coming out every Wednesday and Saturday.